Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible, you are welcome to take one of those black pew Bibles there in front of you. Turn to page 673, and you can follow along with me. For those who keep track of sermons, for this week and then the three following weeks, I'm going to be preaching the gospel of God. And so it's a four-part sermon. I think at this point it could change, but I think there's 15 things I want to share with you, and I can't do it all in one Sunday. But when you think about what is the gospel, this morning Brother Hal read from Galatians, and it says that the gospel was announced. And so what was that gospel? What is it that's been announced? And then I really like the last couple words that you read, as it said, the man of faith. And so in a world today, the gospel needs to be defined. There's so many people that take words and they use it for their own benefit, kind of rewriting the dictionary, we might say. And so I just want to share with you what is the gospel. So I'm calling it the gospel of God, part one. And so here in Isaiah chapter 52, starting with verse 6, we will find a beginning here of it, of what I want to say. It says, "Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, they will know on that day that I am he who says, here I am. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the herald who proclaim peace, who bring good things, news of good things, and proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voices of your watchmen lift up their voices, shouting for joy together, for every eye will see when the Lord returns to Zion." But back up to verse 7. "Who brings news of good things and proclaims salvation." The good news, and literally that's what the word gospel means, is good news. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share good news to the people who have already received the good news. And so, Lord, my desire is that as we have heard it, we might be inspired to go share good news with those who don't know the good news. So please, give us an insight and an understanding today, and may we accept the challenge to go and to tell so everybody will know our God reigns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get into the Christmas season, looking forward to it, I like it. The day after Thanksgiving, normally they start playing Christmas music and we get all excited about it. And we go down, we buy a tree and we decorate it and we go out and we buy the presents and everything. And then at some point, hopefully, people will turn to the Bible to see, well, what is it really all about? And so the book of Luke records the angels coming to the shepherds and saying, "Hey guys, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." That word good news is the word translated gospel. Literally, if we take a literal meaning of it, it means to announce or to preach glad tidings, good news, or great events. Now, it can be used as a noun and it can be used as a verb. It's actually 154 times it's used in the Bible. I found it extremely interesting as I'm looking to this. 77 times it's used as a verb, and 77 times it's used as a noun. And so we put them together, it comes out to be 154 times the word good news is used. You see, there is good news. Now, today we find fake news on the radio or TV. I think Taylor is studying journalism, and she calls it yellow news, whatever that may mean. And there's all kinds of things. But as Christians, we have good news in a world that needs to hear that good news. And so I want us to look at this. I want us to study it. I want us to know what it's all about. If you turn your bulletin over, you can see three things I want to share with you this morning. And they'll be taken from the book of Isaiah here, and then we'll be going back and forth to different ones. But what is the good news? And so, to me, the first thing we can say about the good news is that we can know God's name. We can know God's name. And I think that's extremely important. If we turned, we did this last January and February as we read through the Bible, you turn to the book of Exodus, we find that Moses is out there in the wilderness, and as he's tending his father-in-law's sheep, he sees a bush that's on fire, but the bush isn't being consumed. It's just this flame that's out there. And so he goes up to the bush, and there's a voice saying, "Hey, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." And it was God speaking. And so Moses did that, bowed down, and then God says, "Hey, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and to set my people free." Moses had five different excuses. We're not going to look at the excuses, but he had five different things why he couldn't do it. And so one of them was, "God, what am I going to tell the people your name is?" And so God said, and we're familiar with it, he says, "I am that I am." And so we call him the great I am. Literally, we say it means, "I will be what you need me to be." But he found the name of God, I am. Now, we read that, and the word there is the word Yahweh, and we pronounce it in the when we close our services. Often I have what I call a benediction and a different scripture that we find throughout the Bible. But one of them says, "May Yahweh bless you and keep you." And so we're using the name of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is going to be a key verse for us all of next year as we focus our attention on prayer. But it says, "If my people, which are called by my name," you see that there's something about the name of God. Whether we call him God or we call him Yahweh, whatever, there's something about that name, and that we go by that name, we call upon God by that name. Now then back to Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah is speaking to the people, and he says, "My people will know my name." See, there's something about that. One of my favorite songs, I think the Gaithers sing it, "There's something about that name." I whistled it, but I don't remember it. I have a short memory. Okay, I remember it. I got it. You see, there's something about that name. And so we will know God's name. I'm reading this year, one of the books I'm reading is a devotional book by Oswald Chambers called My Utmost for His Highest. And as I was reading it this week, he says, Jesus is our example on how to live, but he's much more than that. He is salvation. And then he makes this comment, "He," referring to Jesus, "is the gospel of God." And so we know the name of God, and we call him Jesus, we call him Yahweh, we call him by different names, but there's something about that. One of my favorite texts in the Bible is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and it says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God." It's a name above all names. You see, there is something about that name. And God's people will know him by name, and he will respond to us when we call him. So whether we call him Yahweh, we call him God, we call him Lord, we call him Jesus, we call him Father, we can know his name. So maybe the question would be, if we were thinking about it, well, what's so important about knowing someone's name? And so if we study it out, during the Bible times, names were extremely important. And I think they are today. I picked out names for my children. Timothy means one who honors God. Michael means one who is like God. And so there's something about the names. But in biblical times, they were extremely important, much so, more so than now. Generations ago, someone's name not only designated who that person was, but even suggested the traits or their characteristics or their personality of who that person was. And so with that in mind, that's why I named my kids Timothy and Michael, because I wanted them not just the name, but I wanted them to be one who honors God. I wanted to be one who was like God. Those names are so important. And also knowing someone's name carried with it a familiar aspect that implied not only that you knew the person, but you had some kind of power over them. And so as Moses wrestled with God, as Jacob wrestled with God, and they wanted to know the names of God, there was something that perhaps if they knew that name, they might have some kind of control or some special influence over them. Perhaps the best illustration is the one we shared earlier with Moses in the book of Exodus, wanting to know God's name. If I come to them and the people say, "Hey, what is your name?" and I tell them, what am I going to say? And God said, "I am who I am." And so this, many scholars, as they read this and they try to understand why was Moses trying to ask about the name, it was to get some kind of advantage or some kind of leverage over God by having the power of that name. We find in the Ten Commandments, the Lord says, "Don't take my name in vain." You see, there's something about that name. And so we have no advantage, we have no power over God, but by knowing that name, it does something to us. And so Isaiah, the good news here in Isaiah is that we will know the name of God. The second thing that we can notice here as we look to Isaiah, looking to the gospel, is that we know that God is present. We know that He is here with us. I love this part. It says, "Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, they will know on that day that I am He who says, 'Here I am.'" We can't get any better than that. As we've been reading through the Bible, hopefully you're keeping up with us as we're doing that, drawing to an end now that we're in December. Four or five times we've read through the Bible since I've been your pastor, but I've never really noticed all the great passages in the book of Isaiah until this year. As I start off reading through the Bible, I get into Genesis, and I love Genesis. In the beginning, God created, and I like that part, and I like, you know, all the stories, and Jacob, and Abraham, and I love the stories. I get into Exodus, and man, I can visualize myself following Moses out into the wilderness, and I'm in charge of the fires. Those of you who go on church campouts know that I love fires and poking in them, and I have a fire at my house quite often in the fire pit, and there's just something about that. But if we're reading through the Bible, to be honest, by the time I get to Isaiah, I'm thinking, why did we do this again? And so I just kind of go through it because I have to do it. This year, there is, for some reason, it's different. And I'm reading it and I'm enjoying it. This morning, Daniel chapter 9, I like that as he started to pray to God, the God of creation. And he says something to Daniel. Daniel says that God, you are faithful, but we have been unfaithful. And so I'm just kind of, wow, it's great. But anyway, when I got to Isaiah this year, I was just kind of, there's a lot of good stuff. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 49 for just a moment. We're in Isaiah 52. We go backwards to Isaiah chapter 40, excuse me, chapter 40, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. Now, as I read through Isaiah chapter 40, I wrote some different words in my Bible. In verse 3, prepare the way of the Lord. That word Lord there is actually Yahweh, and so God's name. And then down says the further in verse 3, make straight the highway of your God. The word God there is the word Elohim. So there's different names that we have for God. But when I got down to verse 9, though, listen to what it says. Zion, herald of good news. There's the word gospel right there. Go up on the high mountain, Jerusalem, and herald of good news. There's the word gospel again. Raise your voice loudly. Raise it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah. What's it say there? Here is your God. You know, there's something about Isaiah that just keeps on coming back. Here I am. Here is the Lord. God is with his people. I love the book of Matthew. As we read the Christmas story and as we sing the songs, I told someone my favorite Christmas song is the Emmanuel. And those words there, they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so there's something that just kind of excites me when I think about that God is present. And so the word gospel, 15 different things I'm going to tell you about it. But one of them is that we can know God's name. We know who we're worshiping, and we know what his name is. But we also know that God is present. That is good news. Now, if I were going to share 16 characteristics about the gospel, I would be amiss if I didn't say that it would be no good news at all if we couldn't see God and experience his glory. And so because he is present, he's here, we can see his glory, we can see him in some ways. Oh, now he's not a body that we can see, but we can see that he is here as we look around to see what he's doing. God is here, he is present. We can see him in his words, in his creation, and in his works. God is here. Can you see him? I think there's times, if we're sensitive, we can see him in the faces of his people. I think if we pay attention, that we can see God in his works around us and what he's doing to bring things together for his glory, for his honor. I think that we can see God as we pray and we see that he answers our prayers. We can see God. You've heard me say over and over and over, and I'll continue to say it until I die, that our greatest need is for a continual awareness of the presence of God. In the middle of the night when you wake up and you can't go back to sleep, God is right there. Call out to him. When you're in the hospital and you get the bad news, whatever that may be, remember God is there right then with you, and he's going to see you through that. When you're driving down the road and you're out in the middle of nowhere and you have a flat tire or some kind of mechanical breakdown, God is there. And so that awareness that we cannot go anywhere without his presence gives us a calmness, gives us some assurance, and gives us some confidence as we face that life, no matter what happens. If we can't see God himself in all of his handiwork, we've missed the gospel. Sometimes we can see God in the sunsets. Sometimes you get up early enough, you can see God in the sunrise. We can see God as we gather together to worship him. God is present. Back to Isaiah chapter 52. I love the end of verse 6. As he says, therefore they will know on that day that I am he who says, here I am. The people knew that God was with them. And I think we need to know God is with us. Three things of the gospel. One is we can know the name of God. And we call him Jesus. We call him Yahweh. We call him God. We call him Father. We call him Lord. But we can know his name as we call upon him in prayer. The second thing is we can know that God is present. We know that he is with us. Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says in the Great Commission, I will be with you till the end of times. We know that God is there. As we face that final breath of our life, knowing that God is there. Here I am, God says. Oh, the third thing that we can find here in Isaiah concerning the gospel is that we know that our God reigns. We can know that God reigns. He's in control. He's the one in charge. Reading a book by John Piper, and he says, God's sovereign rule is essential to the gospel. God's sovereign rule, the fact that God rules over the universe, is essential to the gospel. It is not gospel if anything else is in control. God is in control. He is all-powerful. He has all authority, and He is in charge. Every once in a while, I hear the foster kids talking to their dad on the telephone, and they says, "Who's the boss? Who's the boss?" Used to be a TV show called Who's the Boss? And so every once in a while, they ask us, "Well, who's the boss?" And sometimes we introduce Beth as the boss. But the truth is, God is the boss. Our God reigns. If you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. This is going to be on page 919 in your pew Bible. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, after John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, and while he was in Galilee, he preached the good news. And so there we find the good news word again, and we're going to find it again 154 different times. He preached the good news of God, and he says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. There we find the word gospel again. But the part I wanted to point out is that word, the gospel, and that it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Now in Mark, he says the good news of God. And the good news is of God's love, of God's sacrifice, of God's salvation, that he's here to save us. But then he says, and the kingdom of God. And so when we talk about the kingdom of God, a kingdom of God is a place where God reigns. He is in charge. He's in control of it. And so here we find the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about. And as we think about that kingdom, Mark gives us two responses that we're supposed to be making to the gospel. He says to repent and to believe in the gospel. In a world that is full of sin and hurt and brokenness, there is no good news unless it is that God wins over all. We know what the final outcome is going to be. We know who's going to win, and that is God. We're going to get into the book of Revelation next week as we're reading through. And so we get to know the final chapter. We know what it's all going to be as we all gather around the throne of God and worship Him, the victor. And so we know this. God's going to win. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess them and to be forgiven of them. And we need to commit our lives to turn away from them. And so that kingdom of God, that good news, he says to repent. But then he goes a step further and says, and believe. Well, we know the Bible talks about believing. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God wants to rule in your life. So we need to let God reign in our life. In a hopeless world, we find hope in the fact that God's in control. He is the all-powerful, the almighty God. He's the all-knowing God who knows what's going on. He knows your situation, and He's in control. Let God be God. One more scripture as we think about this. Let's go to the book of Psalms and go back to Psalms 93. Psalms 93. The good news. Number one, we can know the name of God. Number two, that God is present. He's right here with us. And number three, that God reigns. He's in control. Psalms 93 says it so well. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, enveloped in strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. Your throne has been established from the beginning. You are from eternity. The floods have lifted up, Lord. The floods have lifted up the voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. Greater than the roar of many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is majestic. Lord, your testimonies are completely reliable. Holiness is the beauty of your house for all the days to come. Our God reigns. The question today is, have you let him reign in your life? Have you made him the Lord of your life? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's something about that name as we call upon him, Lord Jesus, save us. And so as we look for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, at the gospel, it comes down, the basic part is that first we get to know his name. And then we know that he is with us no matter where we go, no matter what we go through. And then that God reigns. He's in control. Back to Isaiah chapter 52. Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, they will know on that day that I am he who says, I am here. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the heralds who proclaim peace, who bring news of good things, the gospel, who proclaims salvation, who says, your God reigns. The voices of your watchmen, they lift up their voices, shouting together, for every eye will see when the Lord returns to Zion. Has he returned in your life today? Can you see him? Can you feel him? Do you know that he's here? And will he be the Lord of your life right now? Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you because we know your name. We can call upon you, Yahweh. I am that I am. We thank you for that awesome name that means so much because you have got us through every situation. God, we know that you're present with us this morning. And so as we conclude our worship service, Father, we just pray that we will recognize your presence and know that you are here. And may we end off by saying our God reigns. May you reign in our life today and forever. And may you get all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.